Paula. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends on July 21st, 2017. This is episode 326. Oh, my gosh. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and a lot to get to on the show today. Some scientists, paleontologists, have completely destroyed the reputation of Tyrannosaurus rex. We'll speak to one of those scientists from a dino dig in Wyoming. Manny the Movie Guy reviews the offerings for a big blockbuster budget movie weekend. Travel dude Gary Warner will show us how to inexpensively travel to all the locations seen in Game of Thrones. Let's meet the friends. She's the host of the podcast Sweet Life, our producer Brooke Peterson.
Hello.
He's the co-host of the Retro Convo podcast, recovering cosplay dude, journeyman puppeteer, and a proud card-carrying geek, Mike Templeton.
Hey!
And here with a bag full of guttural noises and emotional support from the far end of the table, as far as we can push him, is intern Ricky.
Always.
And forever.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get to the show in just a moment, but you know what? You want to stay in contact, especially if you're starting a business, if you're an existing business, a big business. You've got to stay in contact through email marketing. Do you know what you're doing? Do you have to hire a whole crew to do that for your company? Well, there's an inexpensive and efficient way to do it, and you use Constant Contact. What are you doing? Call those guys now. No, don't call them. I'll make it even easier for you. These guys are the experts in small business marketing, and they make you look like an expert. They give you all the tools and services to take your marketing beyond your inbox and maintain the professionalism, look, and feel of your company. Autoresponders, event management, social media, mobile responsive technology, just to name a few. I want you to get busy with them right now. Try Constant Contact's email system for free. No charge, free. Simply visit the sponsor page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Click on the Constant Contact button to get started. Constant Contact. All right, here we go. Get quiet over there, will you? It's like noisy in here. Is it noisy?
See, you're rustling every paper and everything.
Yeah, it's like
we're busy here.
What do you got? Like building kindling or what is this?
I'm building a fort.
Origami.
Fort. I love forts.
Yeah. Gosh, we used to do
it's
forts.
Like half my childhood is in a fort.
Right. Back when they had something called vacant lots. You know?
What?
Yeah.
No.
What are those?
It was like undeveloped land that somebody owned, but there was no
it's myth. It's mythological.
They didn't have signs up that said no trespassing, and nobody used to sue if they fell and skinned their knee and started crying.
I had like the alley behind our neighborhood.
Oh, that's savory.
There's potential there.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was like tucked up in an underpass, you know. It was good.
Why do alleys have such a bad rap?
Who knows, really? I mean, I don't know.
Like when my wife and I were looking for our first house, a lot of the houses, their garage was adjacent or faced an alley. Mm. So the front of the house was on the main street. And if you wanted to get into the garage, you had to go to an alley. So immediately we went, alley? You know, there's like
I mean, if it's anything.
And, you know,
yeah, if it's anything
dangerous.
Like the alley that is at my place. It is filthy. So, yeah, I could see why it's.
That's where people deposit their couches.
Literally in my alley right now. I got a spare tire, a couch, a dresser, shoes all over the place.
Yeah. Right,
this alley, man.
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on. OJ is out. It's a different demeanor that we have on the program today because we've been operating for a long time while OJ was
OJ inside
incarcerated,
safe and sound inside.
So now he's out and it changes. Oh, he's still in jail?
October.
Oh, I thought thank
he just
you.
Got parole granted.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought that he was on like some kind of custody where he had a parolee watching him or whatever, something like that.
It must be hard for prisoners, though, to finally get parole after however many years and then have to wait 3 months before they actually let you open the door and walk out.
Protective custody, isn't that the word?
Sounds good.
And then what does that mean?
What are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know.
Never know with OJ.
Maybe we'll look at that a little later. Our contest winner from 2 weeks ago apparently is he offends me.
Aww, don't be offended.
I'm offended.
No.
Because first of all, hardly anybody followed the rules for the contest on Facebook to win tickets to Beer X in San Diego, which is in August, and it's a wonderful thing.
Just give them to me.
I'll just go.
I have to
decide what to do with the tickets because I am rescinding my announcement that this guy was the winner.
Hmm.
Because what I did in my announcement in part two of episode 324, which is easily accessible on our website, or if you subscribe to the show, if you listen to the show at all, and there was plenty of pre-planning on the Facebook page to let the folks who entered the thing on Facebook know. So when you do something on a Facebook post and somebody else posts, you get an alert on Facebook that somebody posted on something you posted on, right?
You're right.
Yes.
Yes.
Very true.
So no less than 15 times have there been updates that would direct this person to realize that all he needed to do was listen to part two of episode 324 to find out if he were the winner. And the instructions were, within that conversation, that if he heard his name, then he should reach out via Facebook and send us a direct message, a private message, and say, hey, it's me. Thanks for picking me.
How hard is that?
And then we'd
Not
hand over the tickets.
All.
Not hard
Intern
at all.
Ricky. Not hard at all.
And I sent him an instant message yesterday. And I said, my instant message was, you listen to my show, don't you? That's all I said. And apparently he doesn't log into Facebook all that often.
Yeah.
This is like God speaking to him. He's like, I just don't. What? How do I respond to this?
Yeah.
Do
so,
I listen
anyway,
to the show?
The last post on Facebook was that I need to hear from the winner. By the time the show starts on Friday. And I did not.
So Brooke gets to go.
Exactly.
Brooke and Mike.
I can tell the promoter whoever I want to tell because we have a certain number of tickets that we could use. You know, so
how many tickets?
I'm not saying on the air.
Come on, Phil. Let's all go.
Field trip.
You have this many tickets? Wow.
Anyway, the folks at BeerX are wonderful, and the promoters and the publicity people are just spectacular. And we're glad that they were willing to play with us.
That's
it's just
right.
that. We gave the tickets away to a moron who now is ticketless. Not that he would know the difference.
Sorry, guy.
Yeah. All right. So now that that's out of the way, what do you say we get some stories going here? And Brooke, we'll start with you. And you're from the South. They've got these.
I'm from the South.
You know, I saw there was something. It was a Will Smith movie or something like that. And then, you know, if you get the apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic movie. About what life is after, what life is like when you're the only person alive, and there's just dogs running around, and if somebody plants this vine, and a particular vine that's popular in the South, it will completely envelop your city in a matter of like 2 days.
Moments, kudzu.
Yeah, it's scary stuff, but that's not what you're talking about, is it?
No, but it is sort of reminiscent of kudzu because what I'm about to talk to you about is a robot that was actually engineered and designed with. Like plants in mind. And kudzu, which is a fast-growing vine, weed, essentially, can take over wherever it ends up popping up. But this robot is has a little base that sits firmly and doesn't move. But then from that base, this arm of robot grows from it. And it can grow up to 236 feet from this little base right now, which is 25,000% its size. So anyway, so there's a camera. There's even more. So this robot can sense light. And there's a picture of how the robot basically weaved itself around a maze in order to get to the center where the light was. So it's going around corners. It can go, I have my little notes, it can go under doors, it can turn corners, it can loop over a pipe and then pull a valve. There's a camera on the end of it so it can see where it's going and take pictures. I mean, this is cray-cray.
I'm a bit of a robot enthusiast, so... Yeah. I'm intrigued. Uh-huh. I'm horrified.
Yes.
But
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Like this is literally stuff from Terminator.
Yes.
Like
Well, my mic's off. That would be the purpose of this is that if you wanted to get into tiny little hard to reach spaces that humans couldn't crawl into.
Yeah.
Or if they could and just didn't want to because it was unsafe, you send this guy. But how fast does it grow?
Oh, I'm not sure. Fast speed. That's a good question. I don't have that. But it does talk about reaching through rubble and pumping air in like earthquakes and helping.
Oh, see, there's the humanitarian portion of it. So that's where we buy into it and say, yes.
Okay. How can you say no to that?
Crawling vine robot, good. But then when you find out what they're really going to do is find you in the middle of the night and crawl through your window and choke you to death.
Does this thing have... does this thing have its own artificial intelligence? That's the question.
Oh, God. No,
that's the question because Elon
Musk. You
know,
that's the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Elon Musk even just warned us about it last week about how we need to keep that under consideration.
He's been saying that for years now, though.
I know.
Yeah, he and others. Like, yeah. Yeah. And so have I.
And
have
so
I
have
not?
I.
Yeah.
I've been saying that forever.
Well, it's our lifetime when we're gonna all of this is gonna come
what
to
an
roost.
Exciting time though. This,
well, it is
exciting
so because we're living through it and we're gonna die because of it. and we all need to get on the couch with a shrink and talk about it, don't we?
But okay, but that's... if I could have like robot prosthetic though, like RoboCop,
you're stepping all over my elegant transition.
Hello. I'm just excited.
That's my line.
Oh, got it.
Well, he's getting to the whole robot therapist.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, there's more robots. This is for you. More robot therapists.
Okay.
And so Facebook has initiated this. It's called Wobot, by the way.
Wow.
Wobot.
Okay.
And people can pay like almost $40 a month to have this robot check in with them and ask them how they're feeling and what they're doing and what's going on. I think they can communicate with them through emojis and other stuff. And it has, you know, a lot of like background database information that tells it how to gear the or steer the conversation and whatever. Apparently, this is because people don't really want to talk to other human beings or can't afford actual psychotherapy. So this is where we're going, Phil. This is humanity now.
I have a name for it.
What?
Sigmund Droid.
Nice.
That's great. I love
nice.
It.
Isn't it?
TM that right
Hashtag
now.
Hashtag Sigmund Droid.
You're going to have to license Droid.
Yeah,
from,
I'll write up
know,
the paperwork.
Lucas.
We got this going. It's done.
That's right. No. But what does Sigmund Freud look like? Did he have like a monocle and like a weird mustache?
I know he had a beard.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so you can take that little green droid guy and just...
No, I can picture that. I can
stick
picture
a beard
that.
On him.
Sigmund
some glasses.
Him up a little bit. Sigmund him up. Can you do that?
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Here's something for you. Headline. Mom allegedly uses breast milk in bake sale brownies.
That was a hell of a dramatic pause.
It was a very dramatic pause.
And disgusts the entire internet.
Does she? Wow. So how did this leak out?
From her breast.
Nice one, Brooke.
Nice,
you
Brooke.
This is from the Daily Dot, by the way. And so sometimes we run out of ingredients, right? We get a little creative.
I mean, usually you go to your neighbor if you need some sugar.
Use it or lose it, right? You gotta.
Yeah. But the Facebook page Sanctamommy. One parent is getting a lot of heat for deciding to use her own breast milk for brownies that she brought to a school bake sale.
Whoa.
Wow.
She said, I need some advice, the mom's anonymous Facebook post starts. I made brownies for my school bake sale that had breast milk in them. I didn't have time to run to the store and didn't think it was a big deal. Some of those kids could use the nutrition, let's be honest. That's her quote.
Okay.
There you go.
And I brought
did
this,
she
there
think
it,
is. It was a big deal?
I brought this up to my wife, and she said, there's no milk in brownies. So she needs a little, you know.
It's like, Remy, over here.
Bakery chef knowledge. According to the woman's post, which was brought to the attention of Sanctamommy and reposted there, one of the other moms at the school found out about the brownie baker's breast milk recipe and decided to warn everyone about the offerings. And suffice
it
to say,
I've heard it's really tasty, though.
It's unclear what breast milk.
Yeah, that's what,
no
they, get,
comment.
That's what they say, right?
No comment.
Yeah.
Now,
can't say I've partaken, but yeah.
Now it's unclear if all of this is real or not. The post could just be some fun for an elaborate troll. But Facebook and Twitter users, many of them, have responded harshly to the mom's idea, arguing that her recipe is utterly foul.
Utterly.
And
utterly.
Borderline
nice.
Morally repulsive.
We are on fire.
Others pointed, yeah. The doctor suggests that children shouldn't drink unscreened breast milk from strangers. The, you know, what about...
I love the qualification. Like, you know, if you know the person, it's fine.
Hey, you. Hey, you, kid. Over here. Want to suck on this? Just like breast, you know.
You don't do that around any place.
A mom in an alley in a trench coat standing next to a cast-off couch wants to breastfeed
you. This is like a New Yorker cartoon.
Kids, keep walking. Anyway, the American Academy of Pediatrics warns that informal breast milk sharing could cause infections in children. Because there is a DNA match, you know, from mom to child. And so
makes
this
sense.
Throws off my understanding of the whole wet nurse deal, because there are women breastfeed.
And I've heard of the whole like breast milk fetish with guys. So
yeah, but that's something different. They're not getting nutrition out of the deal,
but they're still ingesting it.
Yeah.
As far as infection or whatever.
Right. But I mean, you know, guys and gals get into all sorts of places that have infection. You know, you ladies are walking Petri dishes. Let's admit it.
We are. Whoa. Hang on. Let's back up. It's on.
Ooh. So, all right. No, it's not.
Let's not go there.
All right. Let's change the topic because we're. Oh, by the way, coming up in just a little while, there's a chance. I mean, any minute now, there's a chance we can hear from a doctor who did something I can't even believe. I'm not going to say anything more about it, because if he doesn't call, screw it.
You're teasing nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
there's a chance.
Fingers crossed.
We're going to keep our eye on the phone, because here's the thing. His amazing deal was in the news, and so everybody wants to talk to him, and he has patients, so he's trying to treat his patients while doing interviews.
While being patient.
And I called his office this morning and said, well, he's doing an interview right now, and he's not in this office, he's in the other office, and then after that he's got a packed schedule of patients, and so I'll email him and see. So anyway, we gave it our best shot, but it'd be great to have. His name is Dr. Paul Hartsch, and we'll see. And then Manny the movie guy, in about 20 minutes or so, he's going to review Dunkirk, Valerian, The City of 1,000 Planets, and Girls Trip. And then he's got some important news about his a trip that he's taking.
Oh.
Which I think you will find impressive. Now, another thing that's impressive is the fact that for, 120 years now, they've been having Comic-Con in San Diego.
Something like that, yeah.
Mike, how many years is this?
I believe it's like 40.
This is the 40-year anniversary, isn't it?
This is a big one, yeah.
And most of the people who attend were not born 40 years ago. Is that correct?
No, you got the old comic book guys. You got the old schoolers that are still going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but then you got dumb kids like me. You know, all of 32 going.
So when the guys who bought DC One or whatever it was, it was new,
like those original Spider-Man like guys, Amazing Fantasy 15, they're there still.
Those guys are there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And the guys who were into, like, underground, like, WoW comics and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
those,
like,
guys are there too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got, like, I mean, originally, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles launched out of a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, I think Star Wars even was at this Comic-Con originally. Like, before, like in 1976, so before the movie came out, like, they were doing the press stuff at Comic-Con.
Was it a comic book story before it became a movie?
No.
No.
I was always planned for a movie.
Oh.
But he shopped it around because he knew these are the people that are going to want to see it.
That's something, you know, because it seems like the movie companies figured out maybe 10 years ago that Comic-Con was a good place to set up shop.
Absolutely.
And so now, look, I mean, every weekend of the theaters, it is Comic-Con all over again.
It's an exciting time. Like, we're in a world now where Rocket Raccoon is a household name.
In a world. Where Rocket Raccoon is a house. Anyway, go ahead.
No, but that's what's crazy about
it. I can't do it today. You know why? Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this in a little bit. Yeah. I have anesthesia voice. And I'm only 5 days in, and I can't get rid of it. They gave me this little...
You're kind of like a superhero yourself, though.
They gave me this little thing that looks like a crack pipe that I'm supposed to blow into or inhale into. I don't know. They didn't give me any instructions. The Filipino nurse said, here, use that.
didn't give you context as to why.
They never do.
Medical health care.
Yeah, and so I didn't get any information. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little later in the program. But anyway, Comic-Con. So what should we know that's big and exciting coming out of this one? And it started
on Wednesday. So Wednesday was preview night, and that's usually the easiest night. You know, they show off a lot of the Newt's toys.
Yeah.
Which got me excited because there's one particular toy company that makes really good figures, and they got the Ninja Turtles license. So they're kind of hinting at stuff to come. Super excited to talk about that.
But today they shift gears and it gets really hot and heavy, right?
Yeah, so Friday is the beginning of the weekend. So
that's today.
Yeah, so the con starts, should have just opened, so we haven't gotten any major announcements yet. Yesterday we got a couple trailers, so we got Pacific Rim 2 got a trailer, so really excited for that movie. First one didn't do as well as it could have, but it did amazing enough that we're getting a second movie. And that's starring John Boyega from Star Wars.
Oh.
From Force Awakens. So he's making a jump here. Yeah.
But that's why you're here.
I'm here. To
you're
talk
lending
about
credibility
stuff.
To folks who know what the hell you're talking about.
Exactly.
So, all right. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're going.
I'll be down Saturday. Yeah. So tomorrow.
Are you leaving tonight or first thing in the morning?
First thing in the morning. Yeah.
And you had tickets, what, a year ago for this?
Yeah. I mean, you get them as soon as you can, and then it's kind of this fun waiting game. Like, if you ever hear about the open registration, that is literally the spinning blue wheel of death as the website loads you into a room with 20,000 other people clicking as fast as you can to try and get those tickets.
Yeah, and they can accommodate, what, 40,000 people?
No, way more. So the con itself is usually from 140 to the max I've heard is 200,000.
Wow.
And that's in the convention center, outside the convention center. It's
and
so
that's
big
like,
now.
What, half the population of San Diego?
Essentially, yeah. This con is literally a portion of San Diego's annual budget.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much money this thing makes for the city.
The times I've gone, I've spent more time in bars and hotel rooms. Across the street from the convention center where it seems like there's overflow activity.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about it. Like, it spills into San Diego. So you have the whole gas lamp district just becomes another big street party. It's literally like Comic-Con Mardi Gras in the gas lamp. And all the bars are so much fun, especially at night.
But if you don't have a badge, you're going to have to be real good at talking or sneaking your way into some of these hospitality parties.
You got to learn to schmooze a little bit. So yeah, like the Hard Rock Hotel right across the street from the convention center, you can't get in unless you have a badge or you're part of the industry.
Right.
So I've wormed my way in once and it was cool. I actually wound up going to the Game of Thrones party.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And you weren't allowed in, but you got in.
We were in. We actually rode the elevator with George R. R. Martin.
No kidding.
So this was a couple of years ago, but it was so much fun.
What'd you say to him?
It was a quick elevator trip, but we were holding a prop sword that we had taken.
Yeah.
And he thought it was cool.
Oh,
so that was the most we interacted with him.
Nice sword. Is that what he said?
No, he's got a little bit higher voice. So like, nice sword you got there. And then we're just like, was that who we thought? And then he got off the elevator. We're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But you don't even need a badge to go to downtown, though. That's what's beautiful about it.
Oh.
So like, there's so much stuff to do out there. You don't need a badge. Just go down and go see.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's also why there's 200,000 people now.
Right. Oh, my gosh. All right. So one last question, then. What have we left out that's real important for people to know that's happening this weekend?
You know, Saturday's going to be the big day, and we're probably going to get another trailer for Justice League. You know, DC's big of, you know, can't think of the right word. Their big movie to go up against the Avengers.
Oh yeah,
like Justice. This is it. Like that's, Wonder Woman did so well.
That's their franchise.
Yeah,
that's the word.
There's
you're
so
for.
Much pressure on Justice League that this trailer's got to knock it out of the park.
Yeah,
and tomorrow's going to be the big day to see if it does.
All right. Okay. Good. There's our Comic-Con preview number two, because we had one last week, but this one is more accurate because you know exactly what's going on now.
Now I got a little bit better idea.
And you're going down there in costume.
No costume, no.
Oh, you're not. Yeah, that's why I introduced you as a recovering cosplayer.
Yeah, I kind of fell out of that. You know, got some other projects I work on.
You're growing up, finally.
I'm growing up.
My little boy is a grown up.
I'm becoming a real podcaster now.
That's funny. All right, and so we won't tell anybody about your puppets. That's just weird.
I'll tell everybody about my puppets.
Oh, my God. From one weirdo thing to another. All right, so Brooke, we all know the story of Chicken Little.
The sky is falling.
Yes, But every now and then, stuff does fall from the sky, and it's unexplained most of the time. And this time, someone's got some splaining to do, because how in the world does what fall out of the sky?
A big bundle of pork.
Well, that's the most delicious
bundle of pork.
Kale I've ever seen.
It's my lucky day.
Yeah. Literally, pigs flew.
Well, they tried.
Yeah.
They didn't fly. So, yeah, this is in, Florida.
Magical place.
It's Florida. And so this family, this is in Deerfield Beach. Yeah, again, I have no idea where that is, but it's in Florida. And so
I'm sure
4
it's
o'clock
lovely.
In the morning, they hear this huge, this bang, this big, 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 big bang. And they investigate, and there's three bundles of pork found on the roof, and then two were next to the house. They just fell from the air. Like, they're too heavy to have been tossed up there. So they had to have fallen, is what they think. And the person does live near three surrounding airports. So that's the most likely explanation, but they can't figure out how it happened or why it happened. And the FCC, or sorry, the FAA, is sort of being kind of quiet about this. And the packages had somebody's address on it.
Oh, so maybe it was a UPS plane, and they flushed their toilet over the city area, and it happened to suck out some of the cargo.
I don't know if they haven't talked about if there was a postal plane or, you know, FedEx or something. But this guy bought some pigs like back in January and had them butchered, but like he has no idea, like he wasn't sending anything. He doesn't know how this, nobody knows what the heck happened. There's just a bunch of pork that fell from the sky.
Yeah, well,
and the owner says that he offered to, you know, barbecue or to host a barbecue with the family, but apparently they didn't go for it.
Well, some diners at a Chipotle in Dallas, you know, Chipotle's had troubles.
Yeah.
You know,
still a fan though. Still a fan.
Really? You trust him?
Yep. Still do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I supported him.
I still go over there too, but I always think that, oh boy, I'm going to get sick. But anyway, this Chipotle in Dallas, some diners got their lunch ruined when rodents started falling from the ceiling.
Oh, rats.
Whoa. Whoa.
And folks were capturing cell phone video of this inside the Chipotle, so Chipotle can't weasel out of this one. This was on North Market Street in the east west end part of Dallas. It shows the rodents crawling around on the floor and one climbing up the wall.
How many?
That's nasty.
Lots, I think, is the word people use.
Nope. All right. Might
How
not be a fan
happen?
Anymore. But, yeah. That kind of takes me out.
See, if we would have been sitting at the table next to that, it definitely would have fell. I'm doing this quote exactly. It definitely would have fell on top of our food because it was literally right there. That's what Daniela Ornelas of Dallas told the local TV station, NBC DFW.
Wow.
Adding that she and her boyfriend were eating during the lunch rush at the restaurant. So the place was packed. And
That's horrible.
Chipotle spokesperson says, well, this was purely an isolated incident.
So it's okay.
It's all right. So.
It's not a Chipotle feature to have rodents fall from the ceiling. However, that would make the place a great deal more fun.
I don't know. Does anyone really know what are in the sofritas?
No. You're the fan.
I'm saying.
That's a made-up thing, isn't it?
I mean, that's their thing. So
it's
you know?
Not even a Mexican cuisine. It was just something they made up.
So, I mean, I've never gotten it. I just stick to the steak.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell where that is.
Do you know where the steak is coming from?
Well, I mean, I've assumed not out of the sky like the pork does. So.
Jeez. All right. How many of you have had surgery?
I have.
Hands
I've had
up.
Stitches.
Ricky, Brooke, and Mike has had stitches. Okay. And I know Mike Stark, our executive producer, he's had his share of surgery. The longer you're on this planet, the more of that cutting and stitching is required.
The more likely you're going to get cut open.
To keep you upright. So I announced some weeks back that I was going to have hernia surgery, and I suggested that perhaps we should do that live on the show. But, no doctor or hospital in their right mind in this litigious society would allow cameras.
No one in LA would have done it.
Yeah, that's right. And that's exactly what my doctor said. He threatened me with a lawsuit for asking him.
Oh, wow.
He said it would be covered in his malpractice if he were to sue me. So... Anyway, no, that didn't happen. But the surgery did happen on Monday, which was, what is that, 4 or 5 days ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that long ago. How are you doing?
This is my first day out of the house.
Okay.
First day driving.
Welcome.
Aww. I got cut off in the Diamond Lane twice.
Welcome back.
Had to slam on my brakes.
To reality. Mm-hmm.
The surgery was on the right side, so that was, you know, right side of the hitting the brake pedal with the right side.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm okay, but I'm getting better every day. In fact, today was the first day I was able to get out of bed without any abdominal pain. Because, and you don't realize until you have a hernia surgery how involved your core is with every little thing that you do.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
From a little like clearing your throat, coughing or something like that, blowing your nose. Who knew the blowing your nose involves your core?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like 95% core.
I guess I didn't realize that until I tried it. I couldn't do it. So
speaking of staying upright, it's all core. Yeah. Man, you must be in pain.
Yeah. Well, it's not as much so much. But what I have is an intense amount of swelling. And what I'm concerned about is that the swelling is not isolated to the surgery spot. And I described this in a dream to James Hetfield from Metallica, because we were hanging out and having a party at a hotel before some kind of music award show. This was in my dream.
Uh-huh.
Me and the lead guy from Metallica just hanging out.
Cool.
And I'm telling him about it, and he said, "Oh, that's cool. How'd it go?" And I said, "Well, it's it's fine, but it's a little like I was in a boxing match with Mike Tyson, and he cold cocked me below the belt." And you see, now if I change the words around a little bit, I can't say that on this microphone, you know? Like Mike Tyson below the belted my cold.
Mute yourself between words.
Yeah. So anyway, I should be proud of this, but there's bruising, so like everything's purple down there. And again, I'm not talking about the surgery site.
Mm-hmm.
So I have now this enormous purple.
Not what you bargained for, huh, Phil?
Wow. No. So I'm thinking, if there ever was a time to send pictures online, you know, through various social media accounts or WhatsApp or whatever, now would be the time, because it's just a mutant version of me. However, what I don't know is if I'm ever going to get back to normal, because I'm not there yet. I'm still in this weird state of yikes. And God bless Remy. She's been very patient through all of this, and mm-hmm. she's been very helpful. And and I wouldn't have recovered as quickly as I have without her assistance. But
the love of a loving wife.
Yeah, yeah. But she may be getting more than she bargained for.
Do you have a little bell on the
side
of the bed?
She's like, "I love you, but..."
And the funny thing is, I mean, none of my skinny jeans fit anymore. So I will be seeing the doctor in about a week, you know, for my follow up, and so if it is still an issue, I will.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Say, "Excuse me while I whip this thing out."
Just right on the desk.
Yeah. Old guy reference. So you guys thought it was funny, but Mike Stark laughed at it for another reason, because it was something from the 70s, before any of you were born.
Just a bit, you know.
Yes, close. Of course. Well, another thing I should bring up, because I just got looks from Brooke, is that...
No, because I was born in the 70s.
Barely.
Okay. Sure.
All right. And so, speaking of Brooke, and I was, today is a day to remember. And Brooke is here in the studio with us, and she was kind enough to come out, because typically she does the show via Skype, because it takes how long? Like an hour and a half to drive here from Pasadena, and
not that long, but
and it's like
today was adventurous.
It's like 15 miles, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Yeah,
15, maybe less than 20 miles, and it could take an hour and a half on a bad day.
Mm.
And today you got here fairly quickly, about 50 minutes, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. For folks who don't live in Southern
Almost
California, and you think you have bad traffic.
No, no one compares.
I just blew raspberries in your general direction, because the traffic here is just awful, no matter any way you slice it. And so, anyway, it's just so great to see you. And
it's fun to be here.
And the reason she made it out and made the extra effort is that Brooke has a new job.
What?
Yay, boss lady.
And so her new job, coupled with some of her other jobs, will make it impossible for her to effectively continue with this job as the producer of the show. Tears.
Though in spirit, always.
Yes. Now, she pledges, and we'll see how this goes, but I take her for her word, that she will remain involved and perhaps co-host the show from time to time and maybe help out from here and there. And, you know, a little thing, she might call in if she's traveling, be a little reporter on the scene, that sort of thing. But this show has largely been shaped and designed by Brooke for the last, I'd say, what, 2.5 years?
Three, almost exactly.
Almost exactly 3 years.
It might be my anniversary, like, today, literally.
Wow.
Something like that.
How about that? Has it been that long?
Anniversary.
Well, I'm honored that I'm on your, on this special day
well.
I'm here.
You should be.
Yes, and it's been 3 years, and this is the first time she's met you.
Yeah, it's true. Right. Yeah, it's because I haven't been on the show in ages. So before you were here, yeah.
There's a reason for that. No, I mean,
I was a baby back then.
Truth is out.
Yeah,
you can work the mic.
You've gotten some experience with your own podcast,
yeah.
So that's good. And so that's good. And you'll be working with a new talk show. It's a work in progress, from what I understand.
Yep, it's still in development.
And are you allowed to talk about it yet, or is it embargoed, or is it
nothing official? But it's all very, it's all very scary because I don't know what's going on half the time.
Yeah, all right.
But no, it should be a good, you know, learning experience. If nothing else, just experiencing how a show is developed and working with networks and stuff, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Right. So. Well, and what you've learned here and
right.
your other jobs, you could take that and say, well, no, that's not how you do it. This is how you
that's
do
right.
it.
That's right.
When I worked with Phil Hewlett,
he told me
we did it this way. All right. Well,
see how far they get to.
Follow Brooke on the Twitter.
Yeah.
It's her first name and her last name with an underscore. Just take out all the vowels.
No vowels.
Just the
what
consonants.
What are vowels anyway?
That's
so
right.
Brooke.
BRK
underscore
PTRSN.
Yeah. Right.
Easy.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
And you can keep track of her that way. We'll keep track of her that way as well as other
I'll
ways.
I'll keep track of you,
I may
too.
Just send her a text. All right. Manny the Movie Guy in just minutes here on the program. By the way, speaking of 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we did this show from Portsakal Waterfront Dining
mm-hmm.
for several days in a row.
Yeah. And I had been here like maybe 2 or 3 weeks by
yes.
then. No, like a month and a half.
And it was, I believe it was like Navy Fleet Week or something like that. And we had tall ships and we had a lady who was a pirate and she
mm-hmm.
had a
rat
that crawled on me while they were doing the show. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. And the location is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's spectacular, as a matter of fact. The food is wonderful. They have award-winning service and cuisine, and every seat at Portsakal Waterfront Dining has a view of the dynamic Los Angeles Harbor, like our studio does here. In fact, it steps from our studio. So if you're ever in Southern California, if you are right now, and you need a place to bring a group or a romantic date or anything in between, Portsakal Waterfront Dining is the place to do it. And here's how you get your reservations. You go to portsakaldining.com or you call 310-833-3553. And don't forget, they have happy hour every weekday from 3 to 7. And when you do call 310-833-3553, tell them that Phil Hewlett said to call and that Phil Hewlett insists that that Jamie, the owner of the joint, is a good friend of the show. And if the person who answers the phone says you're full of crap, then you ask for Jamie to come to the phone. Okay? And he might just do that. And he'll say, so what's Jamie's last name? And you tell him. You tell him it's Carmichael. No, it's Wilson. Jamie Wilson.
I'm going to try this.
All right. Will you try it? Yeah.
I'm going to actually take my wife there. So.
Yeah, you should.
It's great.
Yeah, try it.
It is a great place. In fact, Brooke and I are going to go. I believe we're going to go there unless you have other
ideas.
Yeah,
no. I was hoping for there.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Reminisce.
That's right.
After
Full
the show.
Circle.
After the show. In the second part of today's show, by the way, Gary Warner, our travel dude, is going to take us to the Game of Thrones on a dime. He's going to take us to all the locations, and I believe most of them are in Europe. So imagine traveling to Europe. And then Dr. Phil Manning is a paleontologist who's out there digging up bones. And he and his colleagues are responsible for the demise of the reputation of T-Rex. And so we're going to talk to him about that. And let's continue on now. Let's see. Oh, you know what? You know what time it is? Is it that time?
It's time.
I know what time it is.
And it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who is so close to Wonder Woman, he's invited to lunch at her secret lair. KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. I'm now a member of the Amazonian.
Oh, whoa, Manny.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to start with this because before we get into this big budget weekend, Manny, you are, we're not going to talk to you for a while. First of all, the show is dark next weekend because some of us are leaving town. But then the following week, you will be off and partying with Wonder Woman and her Amazons, right?
Right. I'm going to Athens.
Oh.
But, yeah, then I'll find her secret lair, the Themyscira.
There. See?
Yeah, and then next week, which is perfect timing because next week I'm doing Annabelle Creation. I'm interviewing I'm actually looking forward to seeing this film, the horror, the demonic dolls. I'm doing that next week. So perfect timing that we're going to be dark next week. Dark 30.
My wife freaks out because the trailer plays all the time during some show that she watches or binge watches, and she has to turn away every time because this doll is just so creepy.
Right.
Yeah, and I know you like the horror movie, so that's good. And so we'll find out at MannyTheMovieGuy.com how your interviews went. All right, let's get into the weekend movies, because like I said, it's a big budget weekend for sure. We have a lot of money spent on at least two of the three films that are out.
Right.
Let's start with, Dunkirk.
Oh, Dunkirk, that's right. It's a World War II spectacle that is really, really captivating. It's also intense, heart-stopping, and emotionally resonant. This one, it's from writer-director Christopher Nolan, the guy who gave us the Batman trilogy, Inception, Interstellar, among others. This is his first film that's based on real-life events, of the evacuation of Allied forces on the beaches of Dunkirk, France, during the Second World War. It's, you know, it's a survival story. You have 400,000 men trapped on the beach with the enemy closing in on all sides. This is here's why I enjoy the film. First, the music. Hans Zimmer's musical score, partnered with Nolan's assured direction, that brings the sense of urgency. You know, Zimmer's musical score uses, and they use it in the trailer as well. The ticking clock, a la 48 minutes, right? Or 60 minutes, sorry, not 48 hours, 60 minutes. It is, you may think it's cliched, but this one, it's really, really quite effective. There's no main lead in the cast. It's all about interweaving stories, but it's also historically accurate, and it's meant to confuse us in the beginning, much like how the characters are feeling in this time of chaos. From Kenneth Branagh to Tom Hardy, the entire ensemble is great. Even, and young girls will like this, even One Direction's Harry Styles is good in his role as a British Army private. I enjoyed this film. The cinematography is breathtaking. If you guys want to feel, to see the beauty, the full beauty of the film, try to catch the movie on its intended 70mm format. This is one of the best war films ever made.
Wow.
Yes, and so I'm giving Dunkirk my precious, perfect 4 out of 4.
Wow.
Whoa.
Right.
Boom.
That is something.
You know what? I worship at the altar of Christopher Nolan. I think that guy is a great storyteller. I mean, you know, if you guys remember the movie Memento from the late 90s, yeah. I think. I mean, you know, he started the movie with the ending and then worked his way back into how it all began. I mean, the guy is just talented and smart and brilliant. And when I interviewed him, you can really see his brain working. I mean, he's a thinker as well.
Yeah. And kudos to Harry Styles for realizing that he does have to branch out to extend his brand beyond, I don't know, his 24th birthday.
Yeah, well, you know what, here, I don't know how true or accurate it is, but according to the production notes of the movie, Christopher Nolan had no idea who Harry Styles was. He beat
good for him.
He beat hundreds of auditioners, you know, and he auditioned for the film, and Nolan picked him just because he's perfect fit. Until he find out, oh, we can bring the young crowd in because
yeah.
Harry Styles,
of
right?
course,
which is a good thing. No, it's a good thing, really. I mean, sure, capitalism notwithstanding, it's great for young people to really understand the story and the complexity of Dunkirk.
Yeah, see, he should have known Harry was already good at acting as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
He was good at that. Now, when I saw the trailers for this, when I first saw the trailers for Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, I thought, oh no, this is another movie from the Scientology people, isn't it?
Well, it's not quite Scientology. This one also has a star, a pop star. It has Rihanna, and we'll talk more about it later. But Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, it's gorgeous, kinetic, but it's deeply, deeply flawed. Director Luc Besson's homage to the sci-fi genre is based on a comic book series by Pierre Christine and Jean-Claude Mercier. The setting is the 28th century, with Dane DeHaan as Valerian and Cara Delevingne as Loreline. They're a team of special ops charged with maintaining order, but a threat to the future of the universe is soon discovered. Dun, dun, dun. If you're looking for best acting and dialogue,
Rihanna,
this film will not offer you anything of those.
Rihanna was great in Battleship, remember?
Let's not talk about Battleship. About Battleship. But some notable members of the cast, there's Clive Owen as Valerian and Loreline's boss,
yeah.
Ethan Hawke as Jolly the Pimp, Rutger Hauer as the president of the World State Federation, John Goodman is the voice of the galaxy's most wanted criminal, Kodar Khan, even Herbie Hancock shows up as the Minister of Defense. But my favorite, and I really can't believe I'm saying this, Rihanna.
Wow.
All right.
She appears for a very short time as Bubble. She's a shape-shifting alien on the pleasure zone of Alpha, the chaotic floating city of a thousand planets.
How does she do?
Well, she's only on screen for a brief period of time, but she nearly steals the show. I mean, and there's something to be said about that.
Like, oh, that's
the pops,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great. I mean, the effect is great, and apparently the shape-shifting alien just wants to look like Rihanna. But
I mean, who wouldn't?
Wink,
really?
Wink, nudge, nudge to it. You guys have to see it. I mean, it's pretty fantastic.
Let me ask you a question. How can a city have planets? I mean, the geography is backwards. Cities are on planets, not the other way around, right?
It's a station. It's a docking station, and it just grew into, like, all these different thoughts and wisdoms, and it just grew and grew and grew, and now it's a chaotic planet. Now it's called Alpha.
Something tells me, regardless of the body of good work, Jada Pinkett Smith, Queen Latifah, et cetera, have done in their storied careers in Hollywood,
right.
They will now forever be remembered for Girls Trip.
Well, I hope so. It's really, you know, another week, another raunchy comedy, female ensemble comedy, right? I was getting ready to file this film in the been there, seen that category. But unlike Rough Night Before It, I actually like this much better because this one has a talented cast that will make you laugh out loud all the way home. And so you meet, the name of their group is Flossie Posse. That's the name of the group of friends, and that's what they like to call their squad. There's Queen Latifah as Sasha, she's a gossip journalist, Regina Hall as Ryan, the author and TV personality, and perhaps the next Oprah Winfrey. There's Jada Pinkett Smith as the recently divorced and slightly neurotic Lisa, and my favorite of the cast, the raunchy and funny Tiffany Haddish as Dina, the forever girl who doesn't want to grow up. The Flossie Posse decide to travel to New Orleans for the annual Essence Music Festival, and of course hilarity ensues amidst dancing, drinking, lots of drinking, and dating, and because it's a music festival, Mariah Carey shows up as herself, so do Neil, Morris Chestnut, and Mike Epps. This is from Malcolm D. Lee, the guy who gave us a super funny barbershop, The Next Cut. And just like the film, Girl Trip is smart and even has a few observations about gender and social inequality. I enjoyed this film. I'm giving it 3 out of 4.
And so in the trailers that they're showing on TV while the kids are watching, they're showing the raunchiest lines, more or less?
Well, no, there's a lot. No, you can't.
Oh, it gets even worse, huh? All right.
There's a lot more raunchy stuff in there.
Okay. Well, how many kisses did you give this one?
That one I gave 3 out of 4. Actually, and Valerian, for how it is really visually beautiful. So I'm giving it 3 out of 4 as well.
Because that's something I wanted to ask you,
but
Manny.
But watch it in matinee.
I want to ask you, because I'm actually very excited for Valerian and Luc Besson's last movie, or at least the one most similar to this one, is The Fifth Element.
The Fifth Element, correct.
So how, because people have been kind of describing this as like a spiritual sequel to that.
That's what they're saying, because when he was making The Fifth Element, he was a big fan of the comic book series of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. He loved that. But back when he was making The Fifth Element, he really, really wanted to make do Valerian as the follow-up, but he waited because he said the special effects during that time could not do justice to the material. It is, but there's really no linear, you know, connecting dots between the two movies. And we're just like The Fifth Element, you know, The Fifth Element, take it as you may. Mm. When it first came out, I wasn't a big fan, but now I look back and I'm like, oh, it's actually fun. And you know what I mean? Luc Besson is that kind of director, you know, even his Taken series. I mean, you know, first one, you know, is good. His last one, Lucy, is also good. So only time will tell if Valerian will speak, you know, will become a cult hit. It certainly is working its way to that.
All right, so you gave out 10 out of possible 12 kisses today. Hard work for sure. You probably need a vacation. And
this Sunday I'm actually flying to Detroit.
Ooh.
For the movie Detroit. Well, no, sir, I can't wait to talk to Catherine Bigelow. She's one of my favorite directors. Oh, you know, Zero Dark Thirty, The Hurt Locker. So I can't wait to see. I can't wait to really see this film.
You're living a charmed life.
Yeah.
Manny the
are.
Movie Guy.
Oh, yes.
Everybody visit MannyTheMovieGuy.com and watch all his interviews, and we'll see that. And will you be posting photos of your trip to Greece as well?
I will be, of course. Are you kidding me?
If you happen upon it on Amazon.
If you didn't post it on Facebook, didn't happen.
Right. Exactly. That's true.
That's the way. That's true.
Happy trails, Manny. We'll talk to you in about 3 weeks.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Manny. Have
Bye,
fun.
Manny.
See you, dude.
There he goes. All right. Wow, that was fun. All right.
I'm really excited for Valerian. I'm probably going to go see it this weekend.
Do you get why I got that vibe from the trailers that I thought it was
I can see it, yeah, because I remember at first when I first saw these trailers, like, it was a little hard to figure out what, and then as soon as I saw who was directing it, I was like, it's Fifth Element.
Yeah.
It's absolutely Fifth Element. We actually just reviewed Fifth Element on my show, and just drawing all these parallels, and like he said, it wasn't as good as it was when it came out in 1997, but it's kind of become this weird cult hit, and it's actually one of my favorite sci fantasy movies.
Wow.
So
sci fantasy versus sci fi. So sci-fi versus sci fi.
Exactly. So yeah. Sci fi would be like Star Wars, Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Sci fi is Star Trek.
Yeah. Right. And you know, when you have the food, the pho, it's pronounced pho.
Pho.
Is it? It's
pho. Is it pho or
pho?
It's pho.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, all right.
I saw.
I just know it's tasty.
It looks like pho.
I saw a store called Pho This.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, all right.
What the pho?
Yeah.
Yeah. What the pho?
Yeah. There's all kinds of places. That anyway, let's go back to what's happened in the news. It happened yesterday. Yesterday was Thursday. The 20th of July, and we were talking about music just a moment ago with Rihanna and Harry Styles and all of that, and a huge name in music, the lead singer of Linkin Park, Chester Bennington, died, and everybody now, at least TMZ, is saying that for sure it was suicide, and it had the underpinnings of, gosh, I don't know what you call it. At the very least, a copycat of something that happened exactly a year earlier to the lead with the lead singer of Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, who took his life. And now Chester Bennington, the lead singer of Linkin Park, we're finding out that there are striking similarities to what happened. Ricky the intern is here, and he's been following this quite a bit because he's a big Linkin Park fan and probably the biggest in this room.
And I still am.
And so tell us about these similarities that you're finding out here, courtesy of TMZ and others who are digging a little deeper than the authorities are willing to talk about.
Yeah, TMZ is reporting that Bennington and Cornell were really good friends. If you guys didn't know, they were really good friends. The similarities are really crazy, actually. They both hung themselves. However, the way that they hung themselves was identical. One was at a hotel, one was at their home. Cornell's was in a hotel between the bathroom door and the room door. And then Bennington did the same thing between his room door and a closet. Bennington used his belt, and Cornell had used, it looks like a weight pulley kind of thing from an exercise machine. So that was totally identical. And the creepier thing, the more eerie thing, is that this took place yesterday. You know, no big deal. It's a Thursday. You know, it was Chris Cornell's 53rd birthday.
Oh, so it was his birthday, not the year since Cornell took his life. So no, I had that.
He just died like a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All
and right. I've heard of this many times with other artists, even like athletes, same thing, where they were so distraught over a certain thing that when something related to that other person comes up, then they want to, you know, join them in the afterlife, or they want it, it's really sad. But
Bennington a troubled guy? Because it does seem, when you hear the lyrics of Linkin Park songs, that perhaps this was a guy crying out for help.
He actually, it's funny you say that, because I literally just wrote that in my notes. He's been calling for help. And on my show, The Retro Runway, I mentioned that.
You have a show?
I have a show that you never mention. I have my own show, yes. It's called The Retro Run. It's on Spreaker.com.
All right. You've almost used up your...
I got 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds.
Total amount of words
his
allowed.
His songs... When you hear the names of his songs, I feel sad. Numb, Crawling in My... You know, Crawling in My Skin. He has a song called One Step Closer. Another one, Somewhere I Belong. And In the End... you just think about... You know he was troubled. And the one that not many people know about, the one that just came out, was called Nobody Can Save Me. And it's crazy that that just came out, and then this happens right after.
Right.
It's just sad.
It is. All right. Well, thanks for the report, Ricky.
Absolutely.
And Mike Stark was going to cut off your microphone.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I get that
he
a lot.
Was. Because, you know, we do have a rule about a specific number of words, and he was. And I said, no, hold off.
Which I've never been given.
You know, it is otherwise
the music
a beautiful day.
I was waiting for it.
As we say.
There it is. All right. There it is.
You wanted to talk up to the post, so you learned that.
There you go.
Somebody
on the fly.
What was the name of your show again?
The Retro.
Turn off his mic.
I already said Retro.
Wait, already said it.
You got it. It's all good. Rude.
All right, that's it for part one of episode 326 of Phil Hewlett and Friends. We covered a lot of ground, but there's so much more to do. My gosh, Brooke and Mike have another 50 stories, as do I. And we also have Gary Warner, our travel guy, and the paleontologist who is seeking to destroy the reputation of one of the fiercest known dinosaurs ever. Hey, he's got it out for him, and he's doing a good job. We're going to hear from him standing thigh deep in a pit somewhere in Wyoming. That's coming up. Part 2 of Phil Hewlett and Friends, episode 326.